Welcome to the Mastering the Mind podcast. We will be taking over from John and Oliver.
But don't worry, same podcast, same goals, same objective, but different voices. My name is Connie.
My name is Lotta.
And my name is Taylor. And we're here to bring you athletes and coaches' stories of how they cope with the mental demands of competing in high-level sport.
Today we are joined by British artistic swimmer Kate Shortman.
No stranger to a world stage, Kate has represented Great Britain at the 2017, 2019 and 2022 World Aquatics Championships and the 2020 Tokyo Olympics.
At the 2023 European Games, Kate achieved the bronze medal in the duet free event together with her partner Issy Thorpe. She also became the first ever Brit to win a world medal in artistic swimming when she achieved a bronze in the women's solo free event at the 2023 World Championships.
Kate and Izzy secured their Olympic qualification with their silver medal in the tech duet event and bronze medal in the free duet event at the 2024 World Aquatics Championships in Doha.
So let's welcome Kate to the podcast.
Hi.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Nice to meet you. How are you?
We are good. We are good. Great, congratulations on your recent qualification to the Olympics.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm really excited. Yeah, thank you.
I mean, we feel excited probably just as much as you to be here. So we can hear about that experience. How does it feel to know that this summer you're going to be taking part in the Paris Olympics?
Yeah, it's like, honestly, it's just at the moment, it's such a relief because for so long, we just like it's almost your only personality trait. Like everyone that speaks to me is like, when are you going to the Olympics? When are you doing this? When are you doing that? So to have like finally officially qualified is just like, yeah, it's such a relief. And I can finally be like, this is where I'm going, this is what we're doing. And I don't have to worry about the fact that, you know, we've got that championship coming up. So yeah, it's really nice.
Fantastic. Congratulations again.
Thank
and
you
were part of the 2020 Olympics as well, weren't you?
Yeah.
How was that?
So, yeah, it was really good. I think it's good that we did it that way around. So like the COVID year kind of first, and then hopefully this time it will be quite a different experience because, yeah, obviously there won't be all those restrictions and like my whole family's coming out, my boyfriends, my friends. So yeah, it's just exciting. And like, it'll be nice to like share that experience with people as well, rather than, you know, it was quite an isolated experience, and it being so far away as well in Tokyo, there wasn't much kind of connection with Great Britain. So obviously it being in France is, yeah, it's really good.
Brilliant. Wow.
Yeah.
So to start off, and for the listeners to get to know you, could you share a bit about how you got into synchronized swimming or artistic swimming? I feel like it has many names. I don't know which one is the most appropriate. And also what actually made you want to become an Olympian, essentially?
Yeah. So first of all, I just say it's technically now called artistic swimming. It used to be called like synchronized swimming or like synchro. So I'll probably refer to it as synchro in this by accident. But yeah, basically it just got its name rebranded because it was quite like stereotypical, like women diving sideways in a flower cap. Like it's a lot more, it's been rebranded, so it's got that image more of a sport and a competitive sport rather than like an art form. So yeah, I'll just start with that. But yeah, so how did I get into it? So a lot of my family is involved in aquatic sports. My uncle's been to the Olympics for water polo, and my parents actually met at a swimming pool. So my dad was a swimmer, my mum did artistic swimming. So I've got a lot of like aquatic connections, I guess. And then my older brother and sister also did swimming and artistic swimming, so I just got into it naturally through that. I started when I was about 5 years old, I think. I started like normal swimming, regular swimming, and then I just got into artistic swimming through that. But yeah, so that's kind of how I started, I guess. So I'm 22 now, so I've been doing it for 17 years, so
wow.
Quite a long time. So what made me first want to be an Olympian probably was at the London 2012 Games, and just seeing there was a couple of girls from our club that had they'd like progressed through the pathway and they competed in like the London Games. And for me, like, to just have that like close like motivation, like inspiration, and I guess it was just role models of like women you looked up to, sports people you looked up to, and just seeing this incredible experience. Like, I felt like I'd almost shared it with them because I knew them so well and I'd watched them do it. So I guess I was only probably 10 years old, but I think that's when the like love of the sport and the like want to do it at an elite level kind of started.
And talking about role models, I mean, you were able to watch those swimmers at the 2012 Olympics, and now you're sort of on that pathway in terms of you've just qualified to be able to compete in the Olympics, and also to mention the fact that you achieved a first ever silver medal for Great Britain at the World Championships. How does it feel? Because you are now, to many, I'm sure, a role model.
Yeah, it's so weird to think. Like, it's actually so, like, I get quite emotional when I think about it, because like for a while people have been saying, like even since Tokyo, people were like, oh, you're so inspiring for people. But like until I'd had like a firsthand experience of it, I didn't really know what that meant. But like now I will get like messages from like little girls being like, oh my god, I've got a poster of you in my room, or like, oh, my god, like it's so cute. Or they'll be like, I went to the swimming pool today and I just like thought about you and I tried to like act as if I was you and like swim as it, like with your confidence and stuff like that. So like honestly, messages like that just make my whole day, because it's just so nice to actually think that I have inspired someone to start the sport. And like, yeah, I really enjoy the sport, and I know that it's a very small sport, so to think even there's like one or two people that are like inspired by me and start the sport for me, it's just like incredible. Yeah,
goes a long way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So that kind of links into my question of how has it been taking part in these highly regarded competitions and being able to represent your country at an international level?
Yeah, it's just, I feel like now I'm like a little bit like almost immune to it. I guess there's never like, it's always so exciting. And it's always like an incredible experience to be part of. And obviously like, I'm training every day with the thought in mind that I'm going to these big competitions, but I don't get like as nervous anymore, I would say, for it. I get more like excited to be there and like happy to be there. And like, because I'm kind of training with that thought in mind all the time. I think when I was younger, I would just kind of train and do my best in training, but like kind of not really think about what it was for. Whereas I think as I've gotten more experienced, like I have that goal in mind all the time, and it really helps to like stay focused on what I want to achieve.
Yes. As a sports psychology podcast, we are very interested to know that if you have ever worked with a sports psychologist or know about sports psychology.
Yes. Yeah. So we have a sports psychologist on the team that we have to get regular meetings with her. They could be more frequent in the build up to competition, or if we want to particularly talk about something with her, we'll schedule in conversation. She's always around, she's really helpful, and she always says like, if you've got any problems or anything you want to talk about, just send me a voice note, even if it's at like 3 a.m. Basically, if we ever have any psychological problems or anything, she's like, yeah, come to me and we'll sort it out.
That makes us happy to hear. We want there to be a sports psychologist accessible in any sport. That's good.
Yeah.
Has she taught you guys any certain techniques that you like to use in your daily routine?
Yeah, so she does a lot of kind of like mindfulness stuff and like kind of writing down how you feel after training, after competition, what went well, what didn't. And I can literally talk to her about anything, to be honest. She's really helpful with like certain things. Yeah, just like, I guess, calming nerves and talking through like problems we might have day to day, because for artistic swimming, like the hours are crazy. Like we'll train 8 to 12 hours every single day. So except Sundays, actually. So it's like a lot. It's a lot mentally as well as physically. I'd say, for me, it's probably more mentally draining, the sport, than it is physically, just because my body's so adapted to it now. But you never really get used to concentrating for like 12 hours at a time. So she really helps with that side of it, and like kind of how to stay focused, how to optimize even nutrition so you can stay focused and things like that, just so you're like fueling correctly and you make the most out of all the sessions.
So glad to hear that you have that support, because 8 to 12 hours, I mean,
yeah. that is long.
Mind-blowing. Yeah, so just keeping around that, actually, how do you feel with regards to motivation? Because 8 to 12 hours, that's a lot. So how does the motivation keep on going for you?
Yeah, so this is a thing. I feel like it's not about motivation, honestly, because motivation comes and goes, dips and troughs. Like, you can't act just purely based on how you feel in that moment. If you have a goal, you just have to make that promise to yourself, like, I'm gonna achieve this no matter what. If I feel rubbish one morning and I don't want to go training at all, I'm just gonna get out of bed, I'm just gonna ignore like my thoughts basically, and I'm just gonna get it done that day the best I can. And I feel like that's just the most important thing, and I've really learned that with experience as well. You can't rely on your emotions to make you train a certain way, or you can't think, oh, I don't really feel like it today, I'm not going to optimize training. Like, you just have to literally ignore your thoughts sometimes, especially the negative ones, and yeah, just get it done. You shouldn't rely on like motivation to kind of get something done.
You sound sharp and like you know exactly what. Love that mindset.
It's so easier said than done sometimes.
I mean, it is, but it looks like you do it pretty well, and you must do, because hey, you're going to the Olympics, so you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
If we were to look at the opposite side in terms of mental challenges now, what would you say are the most common challenges you've dealt with mentally as an artistic swimmer?
Oh, I feel like there's been quite a few, to be honest. Like, there has been quite a few. What's the biggest one? I feel like the whole, like, really, really long hours is probably, like, the main thing. Obviously, you go through so many different thoughts in a day. And when you're with your teammates, or obviously I work with one girl, my duet partner, when you're in that close proximity every single day, all day, there's going to be obvious comparison. There's going to be obvious negative and positive comparison. And it's quite a critical environment. So obviously you're looking for perfection. The coaches want perfection. You want perfection. And I think I've realized in the past year or so that actually, like, no, like, literally no one is perfect. And I think coming to terms with that actually took me a really, really long time. Like, I am quite a perfectionist, and I do like to kind of present myself in the best way and do things right and always act perfectly. And I was speaking to my coach about it the other day, and she was like, you need to also sometimes forgive yourself. Like, if something doesn't go to plan, if something doesn't go perfect, just like take a breath. It's okay. Like, no one is perfect. And I think that for me does really help, because yeah, I do overthink things if I haven't done something perfect, if I don't look a certain way, or it just sometimes I can kind of overthink it and it gets to me. So I think, yeah, just that has probably been one of my biggest mental challenges, but I feel like I'm slowly but surely kind of improving on that front.
Of course. So with those challenges then, do you have a sort of routine that helps you to get in the zone? For instance, you say, of course, there's positive and negative comparison. What can you do to make sure that you're not thinking of the negative, or just, you know, trying to clear your mind of any backlash or any things that we see on social media? I think social media is largely responsible as well.
Yeah. So honestly, I'm probably not the best person to ask about that, but I just try and ignore it. Like, I think the key is to just know when you're doing it. It's really easy to subconsciously like let negative thoughts in, but like the first step is just noticing that pattern and like noticing that you're doing it. And like once you've seen, or like once you can register or you pick up on that loop, then it's way easier to get rid of that. Whereas if you're like, if you don't even know it's happening, there's no way to kind of push those thoughts out of your head, because it kind of happens subconsciously. Yeah.
I am interested in, because you mentioned your partner. That's Izzy Thorpe.
Yeah.
Because when you work with a partner, having a good relationship is usually very important to have good performance. How do you guys work together to make sure that you do have that strong relationship?
Yeah, so we get asked this quite a lot, actually, because we have worked together. again, since we were about five, we've known each other since we were about five. And our mums used to do a duet together. They used to swim together as well. So we both kind of got into it through the same avenue, which is really nice. But yeah, we've literally spent every single day together, probably since we were about 10. I haven't gone like more than one day a week without seeing her, like roughly. So yeah, we've spent just so much time together. We've got like a sister relationship, honestly. Like, we know everything about each other. We know how we're going to react in tense situations, at competition, in training. So honestly, we just know each other really well, and we just do generally get on well. And it's not, I can't remember ever really having an argument with her, even though we spend so much time together. Like, we know how to deal with each other.
Oh, it's lovely to hear that you've got that sister relationship, because obviously you're, you know, achieving great things, but with a cost, some of those things, you know, mentally it's going to be challenging, physically it's going to be challenging. And to be able to have someone alongside you who knows exactly how that feels, that must be.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we've almost kind of gone through the same things, we've gone through the same sacrifices. With, of course, you can't, when you're training that many hours, you can't like go to certain events, you can't see friends as much as you would like to, you know, you have to prioritize things at school, at uni. So yeah, I think it's through like the hardships that we've kind of shared together that we've also got so close. And of course, like, everyone sees the good times when we've qualified for the Olympics or we've got a medal, everyone sees that and they're like, whoa, like, how'd you do it? And it's like, we also have like nurtured a relationship through really hard times that only we have seen that side of each other, or we've both had to live through similar kind of sacrifices and hard times and like got through it together, sort of thing. So yeah.
And I can't get over the fact as well, I mean, there was so much swimming going on in your family, but the fact that both of your moms, you said, so Izzy's mom as well,
Yeah, so they actually tried to qualify for the Olympics. I can't remember which one it was, but they went to an Olympic qualifiers, but they just missed out on a place. So yeah, so even the fact that we made Tokyo and now we've made Paris as well is like, oh, it's just a cherry on the top. Like, it's so nice. Yeah.
They must be very happy for you then, your parents.
Yeah, they're so proud. Yeah, they're the top supporters.
Okay, so aside from being a top athlete, you're actually also a student. Are we correct on that?
Yes. Yeah.
How do you balance all your commitments? Or before I even ask that, what is it that you're studying, just so that our listeners can, you know, obviously get a feel for what it is that you do academically?
Yeah, so I study French and International Management at Bath Uni.
Well, that's going to come in handy this year.
yeah, exactly. And I live in Bristol, so it's quite handy. Like, the pool is like 10 minutes away from my house in Bristol, so I just live at home and then I commute to uni like when I've got lectures and stuff. But I also do a lot of it online. They're really supportive of like sending me lecture recordings or like helping if I need like an extra Teams meeting to like understand the lecture content and stuff. So I think because they're a predominantly sports uni, they're really, really facilitating and like extra help and support and stuff. I know a couple of girls on the team who are at different unis that they're not as understanding, especially because it's a small sport. You know, it's not a typical like rugby, football, like it's quite a niche sport. So I think the fact that Bath is so understanding is really nice.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Because you said you did like 8 to 12 hours of the swimming, so yeah. I can't even imagine how you get time for studying as well on top of that. How do you manage your time? Do you create a schedule or?
Yeah, it's a lot. So this year I've actually deferred, it's kind of confusing, but I've deferred my first semester and then I've got only two modules in the second semester. So at the moment I'm going to uni like for 1 hour a week sort of thing. And the rest I just have to catch up in my own time and I'll like watch the lecture recordings and do it online. But yeah, it's a lot of training. And it's that sort of thing of like, you don't always have the motivation, but you always have to have the discipline. Like, if I come home from a 12-hour training day and I don't instantly open my uni books, it's not getting done. So I just kind of have to get in that habit and like get back into that routine of like, I leave synchro at the door, I come home and straight away I'll like just start studying, and I just know I have to set my timer, do about an hour, and then I'll be like, okay, fine, that's the most I can do today. But yeah, it is a lot, I can't lie, it is a lot. And like, if I think about it too much, I won't do it. So it's better to just kind of like ignore any thoughts that I'm having and just like get on with it, basically.
Do you give yourself time off sometimes, like day off?
Yeah. So we get a whole Sunday off. So generally, like, I won't, well, I do, sometimes I do need to do uni work on a Sunday. But in general, I try and take the whole day off. I'll just like recover, relax, see my boyfriend, and like try and fit that all in as well around it. So I do have time to like recover mentally as well, because otherwise it would be no way to live, honestly. Yeah. But yeah.
And when you come home in the evenings, when you're finished for the day, do you kind of have a specific kind of just like chill routine, like time, some downtime?
Yeah. So generally, what do I do in the evenings to relax? I love having a bath. I really like having a bath. I don't know why, like, everyone just is like, why would you get in the bath after you've spent a whole day in the pool? I just love it. Yeah, honestly. And yeah, like, I'll just like read a book. At the moment I'm watching Love Island, so that's kind of what I'll do. And then to be honest, I fall asleep straight away anyway. Like, I'm so tired after a day of training.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I'll get in bed, I'll put something on Netflix, and I'm just like asleep straight away. So, but yeah.
I was also wondering, this is more for the people out there that might want to pursue a career in artistic swimming. What would you say are the most important qualities that make up a good artistic swimmer?
See, this question has changed quite a lot, actually, because there's been a really big rule change recently in the sport. So,
what's that?
Like, yeah, so before it would be a lot about being tall, being quite slim, being toned, having really good knees and feet. And it's really exciting to now say that it's not like, it's not as much about that. It's not really about that anymore. It's more about like hard work over kind of natural genetics and sort of aesthetics that people want to see, which made it more of an art form. Now it's genuinely becoming more of an objective sport, that isn't as important anymore. So I would honestly say, just like, if you have a love for like dance or swimming, or kind of like a passion for performing, as well as like a strong mind, and like you want to work hard and do well and have fun, it's, yeah, that's kind of the key things I would say now. And just, yeah, there's not really one thing that you need to have to succeed. If you've got the will to do well, you will find a way, and it is possible to kind of do well without having those natural like genetics anymore.
That's interesting. So you said it was really exciting to have the focus now be put on your performance and hard work, dedication. Yeah. Was there ever a shift in your mindset then? Because obviously it was more geared to aesthetic before. Now they're actually looking for that skill. Has there ever been a shift in your mindset, or how you approach training, competitions?
Yeah, 100%. Because, I mean, the old rules, we were kind of ranked around 14th in the world. I'm not very tall. I'm not particularly like long and skinny and graceful looking. Like, that's just not my natural build. So obviously I had to work 10 times harder just to come 14th. Rather than, you know, the girls that maybe were coming a lot higher up that just had those natural genetics that, you know, the judges just love to see. So I think it was really exciting when the new rule changes came in. It was about 2 years ago now, and we've jumped from kind of like 14th, not even making the finals, to like second, third in the world, because the scoring is just so much more objective, and it really takes into account like your talent rather than just aesthetics and kind of prejudice and kind of like biases that the judges used to have. Yeah.
I'm actually interested, how much do you have to hold your breath, because you're like underwater a lot. Do you practice just like breath work or like lung capacity?
Yeah, we get asked that all the time. So if I was like doing like, so we call it apnea, so that's just like breath hold training. If I was just going to do like a breath hold in the water, I can hold my breath for about 3 to 3.5 minutes. Whereas if it was like on land, it's a lot less, because it's like your body is more activated when you're on land, if that makes sense. You're not as like relaxed as in the water. But we would never do like in a routine that long a breath hold. It's about 40 seconds maximum within a routine.
Yeah, that's like 40 seconds where you do like move a lot though, so it must be quite hard, because the more you move, the more like you need that oxygen to kind of.
Yeah, exactly. But then, so the thing with the new rules is now that like the kind of number of movements and the number of rotations gets like added onto a difficulty score. So basically, the longer you can hold your breath, the longer you can stay under, the longer you can fit in all this difficulty and these rotations and things like that. So it's a big advantage to be able to hold your breath for longer, basically.
That's interesting.
Wow. So should we move on to some quick fire questions then, Lottie?
Yes, that would be fun.
So, I mean, as much as we say quick fire, if there's ever a question where it's a bit deep and you think, oh gosh, like what is that? Don't feel the pressure. It's fine.
Okay, yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine.
But first question would be, if you weren't an athlete, what would you have been?
Oh, that's a good question. So, I mean, this is not going to be quick fire, because I honestly, I have no clue. I don't know what I want to do with my degree, what I want to do after synchro. Like,
really?
I just haven't thought about it yet. No, I'm just going to honestly see where life takes me. So
I was going to say ride the wave, but with the whole, you know, you're a swimmer, I don't know if that's it wasn't intentional.
Honestly, I'm just gonna see where life takes me, but yeah,
maybe I'll coach the next Olympic winners.
I don't know though. I don't think I have the patience to be a coach, to be honest. I've tried coaching before. I've tried coaching before, and it's just I just get too like I just want to be in doing it.
To be fair, I get that. You want to be the one, obviously, doing the training and doing the skills.
Yeah.
Okay, then the next one. What is your favorite meal?
Ooh, what is my favorite meal? I love a Sunday roast. I love it. Full Sunday roast, Yorkshire's, pigs in blankets, like a full Christmas dinner. That's my favorite savory meal, yeah.
Okay, toughest competition to date.
Toughest competition to date. Maybe the one we've just had. Probably the most recent world champs. Yeah, because there was just so much riding on it. Obviously, it was Olympic qualification spot. And yeah, I mean, we did really well. To be fair, we did do really well, but there was a lot riding on it. And if we hadn't done well, it wouldn't have been the same story. So I'm very glad we did.
Okay. Favorite holiday destination?
My favorite holiday is definitely going to Italy. I love going to Italy.
I've literally just booked Italy.
I have never been to Italy. Yeah, it's on my like bucket list, very high up on the bucket list.
No way. Oh my god, you need to go ASAP. Honestly, it's the best. Because so my boyfriend's Italian, and so we literally go like every year, we go see his family, and he's from Naples. So the food there is incredible.
I was just about to say, big question, the food.
Amazing.
I'm so glad to hear that. I mean, I thought it would be, but you know, sometimes you can I don't know, you have expectations, or you go thinking, oh, it's gonna be like this, and you just hope it's like that. Sometimes it's hit and miss, but no, you filled me with hope there, Kate. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then finally, what's the best tip you could give to a young swimmer?
Best tip for a young swimmer. I think just where there's a will, there's a way. Don't quit, don't give up. If you feel like you've taking a couple steps back, don't worry about it, but just keep trying to push forward. And it doesn't matter if you get small step backs, as long as the general direction is forwards and you're doing it because you love it and it's genuinely coming from you and you want to do it, you will make it work. And yeah, just never give up, keep going and enjoy the process, love the process, and don't worry too much about the outcome.
Don't think there could have been a better answer to that question. Oh. Well, you made it through the quickfire.
Thank you, yeah.
So, well, thank you so much, Kate, for coming on and chatting with us. Is there any last thing you would like to say before we wrap things up?
No, just thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed it. And yeah, hope you guys have a good rest of your evening.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again for joining us. And we have come to that time, listeners. We hope that you've enjoyed this episode. Do share it with your friends or someone who you feel would benefit from it. And most importantly, like, subscribe, and comment down below any questions or guests you would like for us to get on in the future.
Also, you can go follow us on Instagram or X. Links will be in the description of the YouTube video, or you can find us at Mastering the Mind podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.